Hello and welcome back to the From the Nosebleeds podcast, season 2, episode 7. I'm forgetting the episodes every week.
There's too many to keep track of.
Each week we're logging a new episode. It's been a lot of fun so far. I'm Thomas Parknick, joined alongside Thomas Colburn and producer Paul Gismondi, as always, via Zoom call. Colburn, how are you today?
Not too bad. I know you're doing great, but the break news great. That just happened.
I have experienced a whirlwind of emotions in the past half an hour and even going back to Sunday. So yeah, to say I'm doing great is an understatement right now.
Yeah, I guess we can start by jumping in. We're recording this at Tuesday at 12 o'clock right now, basically. Yeah, so
literally
just came out.
Maybe 20 minutes ago, to my surprise, Tua Tagovailoa has been named the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, which is something that I think we talked about it on one episode. I was kind of the belief that they should be as patient as possible with him. If you look at this team, they're 3-3. I think they have I think they're second in the AFC in point differential. Their defense is second in the NFL in points allowed per game. We had a shutout this weekend against the Jets. So we're doing very, very well this year. And now this announcement to bring Tua in is definitely going to shake things up. So, yeah, I'm still sort of digesting this news.
Nervous,
yeah.
Though? I mean, it's a big game to bring him in. I mean, they don't play this week, but Aaron Donald, first matchup.
First matchup with Aaron Donald. The offensive line has proven. Obviously, the big concern with Tua, because of his injury history, was don't bring him in, feed him to the dogs right away, just because of how bad our offensive line was last year. But this year, 4 out of the 5 guys are different. 3 of them, or 2 of them, are rookies when everyone's healthy. They've been playing outstanding. So I'm a little bit more confident now. But like you said, it's Aaron Donald that we're talking about here. It's an extremely tough matchup. I think having the extra week with the bye is really going to help. But I'm more than shocked by this news.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know, I guess looking back, they probably wish they just brought him in for the Jets game. It's a much better game to start your NFL career on. But yeah, like you said, Aaron Donald, even Jalen Ramsey, I'm sure is excited to try to pick off the rookie in his first game. But yeah, I'd be excited if I was a Dolphins fan. You look at Herbert, you look at Burrow. Who knows? Why can't that be you? And 9-7 this year will probably get you into the playoffs with the extra spot. So who knows? Playoff berth?
It's definitely attainable. We have the 10th easiest strength of schedule going forward. Still get to play the Jets one more time. We know what a sideshow they are. But no, you make a great point when you say that in hindsight, it would have been better if he got to play that full game against the Jets. And it was 21-0 at halftime, I believe. And I feel like they really should have given him more reps. He only got to throw those 2 passes. He was pretty much brought in just to hand off the ball. It's with 9 minutes left, there was a perfect opportunity to bring him in. They didn't. And now it's kind of like, it is going to be a very tough defense to start off his NFL career. That being said though, if you look at Ryan Fitzpatrick's stats, he had 3 touchdowns on this weekend. I think there's a lot of fool's gold in there. If we played anyone other than the Jets, that would have been a loss. It was extremely sloppy, especially in the second half. I think on 3rd down, we were maybe 1-for-3. It was horrible. So I think the quarterback position through 6 weeks of play is probably one of the positions on this team that has been the worst. I hate to say it. I love Ryan Fitzpatrick. Seeing how excited he was on the sideline when they brought Tua in was just, it almost brought tears to my eyes.
Everybody loved him. You can't not love
him. You can't not love Ryan Fitzpatrick. And it's sad to say, and maybe you can relate to this too as a Lions fan cheering for a team that hasn't had a lot of success in the NFL. But in my over a decade of supporting this football team, I can't think of a better moment than watching Tua run onto the field for the first time and throw his first pass. I never heard that crowd. I know there's only 13,000 fans, and you know what, a bunch of it might have even been fake crowd noise through the broadcast, but there was like a buzz in the stadium that I had just never heard before or experienced as a fan, the excitement that I felt. And seeing him sit on the field after at the 15-yard line where he got injured a year ago, which could have been a career-ending injury, it's just such a great story. And you have to really want to root for the kid, because he seems like character is just through the roof with this guy. So definitely going to be interesting to see 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, I mean, going back to what you said about not seeing a lot of success, whatever, the first year I watched football was obviously first year being a Lions fan, it was Stafford's first year. So that I've never experienced anything like that, but we both, I definitely you and definitely me. So yes, none of us have ever experienced a home playoff game.
No.
Right? Yeah, because Patriots always win and then Lions, it's either Packers or Vikings or Bears, never them. But who knows? I mean, it's crazy to say, but you still have a shot at the division going into your bye week, which I don't think if you ask the majority of Dolphins fans, they would think going into this year.
Yeah, we're 3-3. We're one game behind the Bills. Now I'm starting to look back. When we played the Bills in week two, we lost. And at the time, we felt 0-2. The Bills went to 2-0. And I kind of thought, like, this game doesn't really matter. It's a development year for this team. It's a young football team. But we were winning that game late in the fourth quarter. And I honestly believe if Byron Jones doesn't go down with a groin injury, Stephon Diggs doesn't have a heyday on our rookie cornerback, Noah Igbinoghene. Now looking back at it, I'm starting to realize how important that game was, because if we had won, we're tied for first in the division right now, which, like you said, is crazy to see. But we're playing great football. We might not have a lot of star power, but it seems like every single player on this team throughout the depth chart is contributing. And I can't say enough about the culture of the team and the locker room. And I think Tua is only going to help us. Fingers crossed that he can have the same success as we've seen from Joe Burrow, from Justin Herbert, because those two guys have looked phenomenal so far. So the pressure is really on right from the get-go, because we know if he has a rough start, if Aaron Donald eats him for breakfast, if Jalen Ramsey picks him off,
couple interceptions, maybe.
There's going to be a lot of talk. So it's definitely a high risk move, but I'm all for it.
Yeah, I like it too. Just go for it. At this point, you got nothing to lose. You're Fitzpatrick, like if you kept Fitzpatrick in the whole year, it's probably 7-9, 8-8 at best. So just go for it. I'm excited to watch him play. Not obviously this week, but next week. Yeah.
And like you said, AFC, it's wide open. The Browns did not look too good.
On the wide open for playoff spots.
Yeah.
Not really wide open. Yeah.
Exactly. For those wild card spots. The Colts, Phillip Rivers is father time's catching up.
I don't know if there's a single person who knows if the Colts are good.
I don't even think producer Paul Gismondi knows it.
Yeah, and he's a Colts fan.
So, never mind, is he a Colts fan? He's flirting with conversion right now, because the more and more Chase Claypool dominates on Sundays, the closer he gets to just going over the line and joining the Steelers nation.
Bleeding black and yellow all of a sudden.
But no, like you said, playoffs are very much a possibility for this team. Speaking of Claypool, actually, you mentioned last week, I can't remember if it was on the show or just to me after or before in our prep, how you were just digging Chase Claypool's rookie of the year odds, because you think he's only going to get better. And I think there was something like plus 2,500.
Yes, I was loving
I think
value.
I might have to look at Tua. I might have to look at his rookie of the year odds.
Okay.
What do you think about that one?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. You're right. I never even thought about that, because the rookie quarterbacks right now, the only thing that would hurt him is that he obviously is not going to play nearly as many games as Burrow and Herbert, but both those teams are not making the playoffs. The Chargers aren't, I mean, unless they could turn around, but I don't think they will. And then the Bengals are just not good enough yet. So if Tua comes in and
quarterbacks get all the praise. Let's not forget that.
You're right. I think for him to win rookie of the year, they'd have to win 10 games.
Which is a 7-3 run.
Yeah.
we still play the Chiefs. We still play the Patriots. We play the Bills in Buffalo week 17, which pretty much an automatic loss in the snow. You never win there.
It's not impossible, but it's pretty low. I don't think one of the quarterbacks is going to win it this year.
You think it's going to be Justin Jefferson? Yeah, Claypool.
It could be him. I don't know. I mean, could you give it to Burrow if they only win, like if they win four games?
I honestly don't think you could justify giving it to Joe Burrow. And that's not a knock on him. He looks great, but it's like there's wide receivers that are putting up Pro Bowl type numbers.
Exactly.
Burrow's stuck with a terrible O-line. You know, he's playing well, but the numbers aren't really reflecting it always.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, like Jefferson or Claypool to win it is not out of the question at all, especially now. Like they're both just stars right away. I mean, I know Vikings fans had high expectations for Jefferson, and Steelers fans, well, they just think every receiver that they draft is going to be good, which is like, how can you blame them? But they're both phenomenal. So I don't know. It'll be an interesting race to see who wins it in the end.
And a couple games to look for. You mentioned you're excited to see Tua in 2 weeks. Looking even further ahead, week 10, Tua versus Herbert, and week 13, I believe, is Burrow versus Tua. Last time we had Burrow versus Tua in college last year, it was an amazing game. Burrow came out on top. Hopefully it's a different result this year, just for me personally. But yeah, this definitely changes a lot of things. The entire AFC playoff race sort of landscape. But I can't emphasize enough how excited I am, especially coming into the podcast today.
Quickly though, looking at the league as a whole, what are we 6 weeks in? This is week 7 now, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Aside from COVID and no fans, whatever, like I feel like this is one of the most interesting NFL years we've had in a long time.
Aside from the NFC East, I'm loving this season. It's just,
but even that's a storyline. It's how bad can the winner of the division be?
It's just frustrating that one of these teams is going to get a playoff game at home. Nonetheless, never mind a playoff game. But yeah, no, I love that point. It's been incredibly interesting. It's been frustrating at some times with the cases that we've had and having to delay games. Last week we had a Tuesday game. A couple games have been canceled. But no, it's definitely been a great season so far. And rookies are dominating this year, which is something that with no preseason, with a shortened, no OTAs, no, you know, the offseason was very different. I'm really surprised with how well these rookies have been able to adjust. And even on the defensive side of the ball too, it's been phenomenal. This rookie class looks like it was definitely deserving of all the hype they got.
For sure.
I want to get into the AFC North today. Mentioned earlier that the Browns look terrible. The Steelers, just any question of, or any thought of maybe the Browns being on the level of the Steelers or the Ravens was just squashed this weekend. And the Ravens had a very interesting weekend too. They managed to get the win, but overall, how has this week's matchups changed your opinion on the AFC North?
I just can't wait to see Pittsburgh play Baltimore. Because, you know, the Ravens didn't look phenomenal. Lamar kind of looks like he's kind of what he is now. I don't know. It's I don't know what to think of Lamar recently. But you never know until they play each other. Clearly, I agree with you. Like, Cleveland is not part of this race at all. They could very well be playing for a playoff spot in week 17. Like, I would not doubt that at all. But there's no chance they're competing in this division. They're not there yet. And I don't know if it's Baker holding them back, whatever. I personally think that's what it is. But okay, if the Steelers win this weekend, they play the Titans in Tennessee. If they win this weekend, it's their division to lose. That's how I see it.
They play the Titans this weekend. And I think they have the Ravens next weekend. And the Ravens are coming off bye now. So it's starting to be some two crucial weeks for the Steelers, but I'm starting to look at these two teams. The Ravens coming into this year, what was so highly touted about them was that they're a roster with zero holes. yet their offense is really struggling as of late. I think their running backs, they're not giving the ball to Mark Ingram. He had a great season last year. He's not getting the ball. J.K. Dobbins is a rookie. You know, when he's getting his touches, he looks good. But again, they're not finding a way to get him involved very much. I don't even have to say anything about Hollywood Brown because I know how frustrating he's been for this year, for you especially as a Hollywood Brown fantasy owner. I think you might have.
Did you just trade him?
You just traded him.
Yeah.
Good business for you because. Yeah.
Moved off of him.
Mark Andrews, one week he gets two touchdowns. The next week he catches two passes. And Lamar Jackson is, like you said, you don't know what to think of him. I don't know what to think of him. I don't want to write him off as a passer, but I can't confidently say that this guy looks like the real deal throwing the football because he just hasn't. And then I look at the Steelers. They're undefeated. Their defense has yet to have a game where they looked anything less than spectacular. They're the only team in the NFL with at least three sacks and an interception in every single game. Think about that for a second. That is a wild stat. And then on the offensive side of the ball, they're running the ball well with James Conner.
He's really gotten going the last couple of weeks, which is great to see.
Big Ben, who had some injury concerns coming in, how will he do after a full year almost of not playing football? He's doing everything that they need him to do and more. And we get into the almost the most dangerous part of this team, and that's their wide receivers, like you mentioned. They don't miss when it comes to drafting. Juju Smith-Schuster, I know the stat line's not always there this year, but he's a number one guy. I think he's a number one guy.
He's part of the reason Claypool is having the success he's having. It's the A-B Juju effect to a lesser degree, but yeah.
Yes. Claypool, we talk about him for what feels like an hour. Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah. Last week's episode title, Mapletron. That just shows
terrible you. Terrible nickname, by the way.
You don't like it?
No, it's a terrible nickname.
I love it. I think.
Listen.
And what I like even more about it is that he doesn't like it. Have you heard that?
Yes, I have.
That's awesome. I think Mapletron is, it's so
here's,
good.
Here's why I hate it. I hate it. Well, maybe this is coming from a Lions fan, okay? The whole Megatron thing, whatever. It's like Galladay, who was in the league before, his nickname is Babytron. I think that's a dumb nickname too, but I get it. Lions, you know, probably the best wide receiver they've had since Calvin. And it's like, okay, we don't need to just keep making nicknames that stem from Calvin Johnson. It's just, I don't know.
And I don't know if you're aware of
the Steelers.
But every single year, a wide receiver comes out of the draft and he gets a Calvin Johnson comparison.
Yeah,
and I want to say 9 out of 10 times he turns out to be terrible. But Claypool looks great, and
yeah,
I get it. It's disrespectful to Megatron. I agree, but I think the Maple aspect of it, just because he's Canadian, I think that's awesome.
You're right, though. Any wide receiver in the draft class that is over 6'4" or 6'3", they're Megatron.
Slap that Megatron tag right on him.
Guy can't run. He can't run routes. Yeah. Okay, he's Megatron. Okay, and then the base goes nuts.
But no, the Steelers look outstanding, and they're starting to elevate themselves to look like the team that Baltimore was touted to be, a team with virtually no holes. So we're going to go into these matchups. I think they're going to be some very, very good games. The Ravens offense, they have a bye week this week. They need to get themselves going, because if they go in with their current form against the Steelers defense, it's not going to end well. And the Steelers are going to win that football game. And I think it's going to be an eye-opener for a lot of NFL fans.
Here's what's concerning if you're a Ravens fan. I think it's safe to say now you can't run the ball on the Steelers.
Yeah. So they're allowing 50 yards a game.
If Cleveland couldn't run the ball, I don't think anybody can. Like, the Cleveland's top five running –
They didn't have Nick Chubb, but even without Nick Chubb, they've been able to run the ball,
right?
Five yards a carry and over 150 yards a game.
So it's safe to say that you're not going to be able to run the ball at least the whole game. You might get a couple chunk plays, who knows? Like Miles Sanders, for example, against the Steelers. He broke off that huge run. But you're not going to be able to consistently run the ball against them, which means your quarterback's going to need to throw. And that's where, if you're Ravens, you don't want Lamar in that spot. It's the same thing that happens every time they play Kansas City. You want them to play ahead with the lead.
Do you think the Ravens need to go out and get more weapons? I think AJ Green is someone that's going to be available come trade deadline time. He's on the franchise tag. You know what? He had a decent week this week, but the 5 weeks prior, it has not worked out this year in Cincinnati. The Ravens on offense, they have some nice pieces. Mark Andrews is one of the best tight ends in football. Hollywood Brown, he looks like a good player. I don't think he's a true number one. He has not taken that step that a lot of people have expected him to this year. After that, a wide receiver, they have Snead. They have, I think it's Miles Boykin from ex-Notre Dame player. But I don't know how much of it is on Lamar or how much of it is on a lack of weapons from this football team.
I'd say it's more on Lamar in a sense that I said this before the show off the air. Lamar needs to understand that he can't throw he doesn't have the arm talent of, you know, your Mahomes, let's say Stafford, Rodgers. Like, I see him kind of just flick the ball and try to make these throws into these windows that it's just like, you're not that quarterback, and that's okay. Just recognize that, right? And if they really simplify the passing attack, I think they have enough weapons in order to get the passing game going. I don't think they need to go out and make a move. I'd like if they got AJ Green. That'd be a decent pickup, I think. I think he just needs to – if he gets traded, he'll be re-inspired, and you'll see him return to form. But I don't think that's a necessity in order to get the passing game going.
You said it best when you mentioned that this Ravens team is – they're best when they're playing with the lead. And that's why they're so successful against teams that are not on the caliber of them, because their defense alone gets them a lead, get them that fantastic field positioning. Lamar isn't asked to do as much. The run game opens up a lot more for him. He broke off a big rushing touchdown this weekend against the Eagles. And then they let the Eagles claw back into that game. And it just overall, to head into a bye week to end that game that they how they did, it just leaves a bad taste in their mouth. So they definitely have a lot of things to work on. But like you said about Lamar, his completion percentage is something that's very, very concerning this year. I know not everyone can come into the game and just have a 100% completion percentage like Tua did on Sunday. But, I mean, it's something that I think definitely needs to improve if the Ravens are going to be able to get it done against the good teams. Because in my opinion, that's a knock that I can have on them right now. And it's fully warranted. They not only lost, but they got blown out against Kansas City. Last year in the playoffs, blown out against the Titans. This Steelers game is going to be extremely, extremely telling in 2 weeks.
I can't wait for it. It's going to be so great. But, and another thing is, if you're a Ravens fan, maybe after last year you thought you were in the position where we're going to just be able to kind of roll to division title and just kind of focus ahead, look ahead in the playoffs. Not the case this year at all. The Steelers are showing that they're back. They're no joking matter. And they might not win the division, which nobody really saw coming.
It's amazing that both teams have had so much success for so long, regardless of roster. It just seems like these two teams are just always butting heads for that first spot in the AFC North. But let's shift a little bit over to the NFC. Obviously, this week we had a battle of two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Personally, on last week's episode, we talked a lot about, or I spoke a lot about how I thought the spread of, I think the Packers were favored by one, so it's a pick 'em.
Yeah, it was basically a pick 'em, yeah.
I thought that that's practically free money. I was laughing at this pick, and now I look like an idiot. So there were a lot of things that went wrong for the Packers this week, and it ended up being a blowout like I've never seen before in Aaron Rodgers' career, and he looked awful. So do you think it's time to, I'm not going to say push the panic button for the Packers, but do you think they're maybe not as good as we thought they were?
No, I think it's, I think it's the exact same thing as last year, where the Packers could beat anybody in the NFC except for the Niners. They just didn't match. They matched up horribly with them. And twice when the Niners played them, once in the playoffs and once in the regular season, it was way too easy. They blew them out. I think that's the case with the Buccaneers. I think they can, I still believe the Packers can beat the Buccaneers if they play them in the playoffs, but I think the Packers beat anybody else in the NFC. And I think I pay really close attention to the NFC North, obviously. He owns that division. Like, when they play the Bears, they're going to win the division. I know the Bears are leading right now. The Packers are going to win the division. I have no doubt about that in my mind. And if they win the division, you get a home playoff game, they're going to meet again. And I think it might be the same scenario where they could get blown out again. I don't think it'll be that big of a blow, but I still believe in them as a team.
It was hard for me to process how they lost. I think Rodgers versus Brady, big quarterback duel. Maybe Brady's going to throw for big numbers. Maybe Rodgers is going to be coming back and forth. Like you said, they were up 10-0. A couple of unfortunate turnovers, that pick six, then one got tipped, another interception. David Bakhtiari, their best left tackle. I gave him the best non-quarterback award in the entire NFL a couple weeks ago when we did our quarter season awards show. After he went down, this Bucs defense, which I'm going to say this, they're the most underrated unit in the entire NFL. I think they should be put up there with the likes of the Bears and the Ravens and the Steelers in terms of your main core of your top five defenses in the NFL. Jason Pierre-Paul had a great day. Devin White, who was a first-round pick a year ago. Levante David's been amazing this year. And their rookie safety, Antoine Winfield, has really been a bright spot as well. So, it's how they lost. And like you said, it was very similar to how they lost to the 49ers last year. They got dominated by the defense. And the Bucs ran the ball phenomenally. Ronald Jones is really starting to come along here as a great running back in the NFL. He had a great day. It wasn't Brady. It wasn't Mike Evans. It wasn't – actually, you know what? Gronk looked actually a bit like vintage Gronk at times. But
first touchdown of the year, I believe.
Yeah, yep. First touchdown of the year. So it's just – like I think you said it perfectly, where it was very, very similar – to the 49ers a year ago.
Yeah. I can't count Aaron Rodgers out. I never will. But yeah, you're right. The Buccaneers look fantastic. That game again, when they play the Saints again, I can't wait to see that. That'll be really interesting. I think the Buccaneers will win. I think people really overreacted after week one, which is, of course, there's always the week one overreactions. But mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy I don't know. Are the Bears that good? Because when they played the Buccaneers, it's like...
I'm not buying these Bears, man. I've gotten to the point where when I was 3-0, I was completely writing them off that they'd eventually come down to earth. I still think they're going to win games. I always say this. It's a lot easier to win games when you're 5-1 than when you're 1-5. Put talent aside, put coaching aside. When you're playing a sport and you constantly have that feeling of winning, you know what it takes to win, regardless of how sloppy your wins are, it just gets easier for you. It's, oh, we're on a roll. We're going to find a way. We know we can get it done. And I think that's what this team is starting to become. But what do they really do well? They have a really good defense, but on the offensive side of the ball, it is just a nightmare. But like you said, look how good the Bucs looked a year ago, or not a year ago, just this Sunday.
Yeah.
The Bears were able to find a way to get a really tough win out against them.
And when you're sitting at 5-1, it's like, well, your road to the playoffs at this point is like
a lot easier.
They're going to get a wild card. You just think they have to, because at this point you need 4 wins to get to 9.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to get you in, like I said earlier. So
if you just go .500 the rest of the way, you're into the playoffs. And it's like, I'll pick this team to go to the playoffs because right now I have no choice, but I'm not backing down on my claim. I think, who are they going to play in the first round of the playoffs? They're going to play someone. You know what's going to happen? They're going to end up playing the winner of the NFC East. That's going to be a first round playoff matchup.
That's a very Bears thing to happen. They just
go versus the Bears or the Cowboys versus the Bears. And now I'm going to have to look stupid when the Bears win a playoff game. So, yeah.
And then they'll get blown out in the next game. But, you know, they won a playoff game. Yeah.
I'm still not buying this team. I think the Nick Foles thing is a great story, but I don't know how long it's going to last. But, yeah, I think that that's pretty much everything. The Packers perfectly they really let me down in the spread picks last week. And the reason I was so confident is because of how dominant they looked in their four games prior and coming off bye. It just seemed like too good to be true. And it turned out to be exactly that. It did not work out for me. Obviously, this game was even more disappointing just because I had the Packers in our spread picks this week. And now that I had a 1-1 record after hailing the Packers to be pretty much free money, I think is what I said. Yes. Packers at -1 is free money. And I think they lost by, what was it, 28 points in the end? So not a good look at all for me. And now I've fallen to second place in our spread pick leaderboards because you have won 6 in a row and are now sitting at 6-2
on fire. If I go 2-0 this week, it's
you're scorching.
Yeah. It's an unreal run.
It's getting really ridiculous at this point, but I'm 5-3 now, which I'm just hoping to stay above.
Not bad. You're only one game back. We're fine.
Exactly.
It's a good race.
But you do have the first pick this week.
Yes.
Because we alternate every week. So I already know what you're there's one on this in what I'm looking at that just seems, I'm not going to give you the free money curse like I did to myself, but
it seems I'll let good you go.
Go ahead. Yes. Go ahead.
Which makes me almost want to pick the other side. But as soon as the Jets game against the Dolphins was over, I thought to myself, I go, what's the line going to, I immediately started thinking next week. And I was like, it's got to be like 19.5. Like it has to be. And then the Bills lost. And I'm like, okay, they've lost 2 in a row. They, you know, they're mad. You know, they want to crush the Jets.
Must win for the Bills.
Yeah. You know, they want to crush the Jets because the Jets at this point is not good enough to just beat them by like 7. You have to, because it doesn't even count as a win. You got to beat them by like 20. And then people are like, okay, fine. Yeah, you played well. It's only -13. So I'm going to take the Bills. I don't see how they don't win by 2 touchdowns.
Jets have not covered one game all year so far.
Yeah.
My only concern is
that means they're due. That means they're due.
They are due. And in week one, the Jets only lost to the Bills by 10 points. I think it was 10 points. I think it was 27-17 was the final.
They had Darnold.
Yeah. But
Flacco now. I don't know.
Hey, I was watching Flacco last week.
And he looked sharp,
he looked terrible. So I don't know where I'm going with this. I guess I'm on the clock now.
Yeah.
For my pick. You were saying to me how you think this is one of the easiest weeks, and I don't know where you're getting that from.
I overreacted, to be honest. Now looking at it, I only like 3 games.
But I'm gonna exercise my demons. And I'm going to pick another team coming off bye because I did that last week. We all know how it ended. Watching the Arizona Cardinals last night, I think they're a good football team. And again, they beat up on a really, really bad football team in the Cowboys. But watching Kyler Murray last night throw the football, it was disappointing to me just because of how highly I spoke about Kyler to begin the season. And I think he's doing great things on the ground, but they're playing the Seattle Seahawks. And the Seattle Seahawks are a machine. I know they're going to be on the road here, but I'm going to take them at -4 because Aaron Rodgers had a bad week last week. This is a great opportunity for Russell Wilson to further himself. in his MVP race. I got the Seahawks.
Oh, it's really his race to lose now after Rodgers. I mean, at this point, bet the house. Bet the house that he's going to win the MVP.
Free money. Bet the house.
Free money. Yeah, it's free money. He gets injured this game. Yeah, the other game that I really like, I don't know what the line is on your thing. I have the Chargers at -7.5.
What's it? Yeah, I got them here -8.5, but we'll go by your pick.
Yeah, we'll go with 7.5.
We'll help you out.
Yeah. Give me the full point. Jacksonville couldn't run the ball against the Lions, and everybody runs the ball against the Lions. I'm really concerned with that, with their offense all of a sudden. I thought they had a decent offense, and their defense is it really struggles.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to say. The Chargers, I mean, they could easily be 500. They could easily be above 500. They've been in every game they've played. This is, correct me if I'm wrong, is this Herbert's first game against a below average opponent?
He's played the
Buccaneers.
He's played the Bucs. He's played the Panthers, who are
they're
below average. They look a team that fights hard. And the Saints, or did I already say the Saints?
No, you didn't say the Saints. So Saints, yeah. So they've played above average teams. I think they blow the Jaguars out. The Jaguars stink.
It's funny that the trajectory that the Jaguars have gone on this year, because they started the year, you couldn't go on Instagram or Twitter without seeing Trevor Lawrence in a Jaguars jersey. The jersey swaps were already starting. It was the Jaguars' race to lose for Trevor Lawrence. And then they go out and they win week one against the
Colts. They get me out of my survivor.
They knock everybody. They knock me out in one of my entries. They knock everybody out of the survivor pool.
Week two, make sure to lose every game.
Week two, they go in Tennessee. They go down early. They come back, tie up the game. And I think I don't know if they lost by a field goal or by one touchdown, but that was a really close game. So we go into week three. Everyone thinks the Jags are for real. They're nearly 2-0, and they get blown out by the Dolphins at home on primetime, their only primetime game all year. And it's just been worse and worse and worse every single week. So I do like that pick.
They made the Lions defense look like the 85 Bears. I was stunned watching. I was like, James Robinson can't get more than 2 yards.
Honestly, and James Robinson too was – he was probably his odds are probably plummeting for offensive rookie of the year as Chase Claypool's and Tua's continue to soar.
Oh yeah, Tua,
as we talked about earlier. For my final pick, there's a couple of games that I've looked at. One of them, I always like to say the what ifs just so I can look back on and have proof to say I would have gone 2-0.
That was close. Yeah.
One of them that I'm looking at. And I can't believe I'm doing this because it's just, you never know what you're going to get with these two teams. But Giants versus Eagles Thursday night. The Eagles are favored by 3.5. There's that whole Thursday night aspect too. It's almost like Thursday night football. You never know what you're going to get. It's like a box of chocolates kind of. So I'm going to stay away from it. It's tempting because I think, I still believe in the Eagles more than I believe in the Giants, but I'm going to stay away from it. I think the Broncos are going to fall back down to earth. They beat the Patriots this week. Patriots only got to practice, I think it was 3 times in a span of 2 weeks. They got the win there. Drew Locke was terrible. He threw 2 interceptions back-to-back to help.
They had the game won, and they're like, he's like, let's make it interesting. Yeah. Just let's throw it away twice. It was back-to-back passes, right?
Back-to-back passes, yeah. Philip Lindsay and their sort of pass rush, the pressure they were able to put on Cam Newton, who, you know what, credit the Broncos for putting the pressure on. Cam Newton's pocket awareness was
not good.
He was QB32 this weekend. He gets the QB32 award from me.
A little bit salty because you picked them in Survivor.
I am a little bit salty. Yeah. I'm more than salty about that, especially because I wanted to pick the Dolphins. But I'm getting off topic here. The Chiefs own the AFC West. It is
Raiders fans wouldn't say that.
It is Mahomes' territory. That's true. The Raiders beat them last weekend. But Mahomes is not going to allow his team to lose two in a row in the division. I'm picking two road teams this weekend. I don't care. It's -9. It's a big spread to cover, but I'm going for it. I think Mahomes has a staple Mahomes game here and blows them out, like you said, with the Chargers. Yep. Chiefs -9. Lock it in.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. I mean, they look great. The defense specifically looked great against the Bills, so that was encouraging.
And the run game, too. Clyde Edwards, Elair, the H is silent.
Le'Veon Bell not playing. But
You think is Le'Veon Bell going to get in this weekend?
I thought he wasn't playing. I don't know.
He didn't play well yesterday.
Well, yes, yeah, obviously didn't. Maybe he is playing this week. Who knows? It doesn't even really matter.
He just wants to play the Jets. That's all he wants to do.
He'll request another trade.
Yeah. As soon as the Chiefs play the Jets, he's requesting a trade to whoever the Jets play next. But yeah, that's going to do it for today's episode. If you made it to the end, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you can continue your torrid pace and have another 2-0 week. And hopefully I can get back
to... Keep pace. You got to keep pace.
Yeah. Hopefully I can get back to above 500 weeks and go 2-0 as well. But yeah, and any last words that you have to throw in?
On a note for my personal fandom, quickly, the Lions, they're going to win this weekend because I'm so confident that they're going to lose. So there you go. Lions are moving to 3-3 this week, and we're on the road to a wild card spot.
And no Finns football this week, but you know Tua is going to be spending.
He's warming up, yeah.
He's ready. He's getting that arm ready. He's spending nights at the facility learning the playbook.
Yeah, FaceTiming his parents on the field some more. Yeah,
it's just, it's going to be, I'm going to be a wreck next week. Anticipating.
The emotions are running high.
Oh, yeah. But anyways, thank you again for listening, and we will see you next week.
Have a good week, guys.